Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shavuos, daf Lamed Hey. Again, for those listening online, this is Elisha Graf subbing for Rabbi Leibowitz. I will be doing so for about the next week or so. Today, we are going to be covering a couple of Mishnayos, and the topic of today's daf is going to be Shavuos Ha'edus. So the first of the Mishnayos is going to be telling us the circumstances under which one might be chayev to make a Shavuos Ha'edus. And the second Mishnah is going to talk about the language that one has to use when he makes a Shavuos Ha'edus. The proper language for being Mashbia somebody, that it has to be a Lashon Shvua. We're going to see that you have to use a Shem Hashem in the Shvua when you make a Shvua. There were different types of Shemos Hashem. There's the Shem HaMiyucha. Then there were other Shemos that are really Shemos Hashem. Then there were Shemos that are Kinuyim, that are nicknames for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. These names have varying levels of Kedusha, as we'll see, and potentially varying degrees of effectiveness when used in the context of a Shavuos Ha'edus. And the truth is, those halachas apply, even though the Mishnah teaches us the halachas in the context of a Shavuos Ha'edus, those halachas apply more generally to Shavua as well. So let's pick up where the rabbi left off yesterday, which is the Mishnah, four lines down from the top of Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Samashbiani Aleichem Imlo Tabo V'Teaduni. If one guy says to another, Reuven says to Shimon, I'm making you take a Shvua, that you better come testify on my behalf if you have testimony, Sha'amar Ish Ploni Liten Li Masayim Zuz V'lo Nosan, that Levi told me that he was going to give me 200 zuz, and he reneged on his oral commitment. He never gave me the 200 zuz. So, harei elu pturin. Then, in that case, the edim. So let's say Reuven goes over. So, let's use different names because we need a kusher, a pair of edis. So, Reuven goes over to Shimon and Levi and says, "I'm making you guys swear. You guys better come testify on my behalf if you know that Yehuda said that he would give me $200, but he never gave me the $200." So Shimon and Levi are going to be pater. Why? Because the klal in the Mishnah is she'ein chayavan el al tfias mamon kipikadon. The only time you're chayav Shavuos Ha'edus if there is a tfias mamon that is like a pikadon. So what does that mean? A tfias mamon that's like a pikadon. So if you look in Rashi over here says she'ilu he'iduhu, that if they would have come testified on his behalf, then they would have been mechuyev of the other guy to pay him money. However, this type of situation, even if Shimon and Levi testify on Reuven's behalf, they wouldn't necessarily be mechuyev of Yehuda to pay Reuven, because what's the taina? The taina is not that Reuven loaned him money, or that Reuven gave him a pikadon, or that Yehuda stole. The taina was that Yehuda promised he was going to give him out of the generosity of his heart, $200. Okay, so Yehuda said that he would give him $200, but he could always renege on that promise, and therefore this is not considered a situation where they're costing the guy money by not giving over the edus. It's important to note that we don't generally take reneging even on oral commitments lightly, that if a person makes a commitment to do something and then reneges on that commitment, then he is over on what the Gemara calls a mishapara, which is mishapara meantre dara mabul meantre dara haflaga omed li para mimisha ena omed bidiburo, that there's a problem if you don't maintain and if you don't uphold your verbal commitments. But it's not as if you made a kinyan. You're able to back out of the commitment, and therefore it's not considered as if these edim cost Reuven any money. Okay, next case, says the Mishnah, Mashbiani aleichem kishetedu li edus. I am making you take a shvua now that when in the future, if you do know edus for me, shetavo v'teaduni, that you should come and you should testify on my behalf, hare elu pturin, and these guys are pater, m'mnesha kadma shvua le'edus. Because over here, the guy's trying to pre-wire the shvua. The way shvua's edus is supposed to work is that two edim know an edus. Then the guy comes and says, I'm going to make you take a shvua that you better come testify to me. Testify on my behalf. Or, I'm making you take a shvua that you don't know edus for me, but the key is that they know the edus before the shvua is imposed. Here the guy is trying to pre-wire the shvua, so he's saying, I am going to I'm going to make you take a shvua that when you eventually know Eidus, you're going to come testify for me, says the Mishnah. That's not a shvua Eidus. Rav Akiva Eiger points out, however, that depending on whether they answer anything, if depending on whether the Eidim answer, let's say if they say Amen, it wouldn't be a Shvuas Eidus, but it would be a classic Shvuas Bitui, because if they answer Amen, they're taking the Shvua, and a Shvuas Bitui we had seen, or we've seen over the past couple of weeks, is a Shvua to do something, or to not do something, or a Shvua that something happened, or something didn't happen. Now over here, these guys can potentially take upon themselves a Shvuas Bitui, that when they do know Eidos, they're going to testify. But Rav Akiva Eiger says, we're obviously talking about a case where they didn't answer Amen, so there was no Shvua at all. But the point is, even had they answered Amen, even had there been a Shvuas Bitui here, there still wouldn't be a Shvuas Eidus, because a Shvuas Eidus, in order to be chayav a Shvuas Eidus, the testimony has to precede the Shvua. The knowledge of the testimony of what they're testifying on has to precede the Shvua. Okay, next case. So Amad Bebeis HaKnesses, if a guy stands in the middle of a crowded shul, V'yamar mashbi'ani aleichem she'imatem yodim, and he's saying, I'm making you take a shvua that if you guys know for me Eidish etavova te'aduni, that you should come testify on my behalf. And obviously his Eidim are among the people in the shul, but he's not directing his shvua towards the specific people, nor did he designate who those specific people are. He's just speaking generally to a large crowd. And he says, I'm making you take a shvua that you better come testify for me if you know Eidus. Hare elu pturin. In that case, they are going to be potter again. The failure is in that he did not designate his Eidim. Now, Amar l'shnayim, however, if he said to two people, Mashbi'ani aleichem ish ploni uploni, that I am making you two guys take a shvua, you Shimon and Levi, you have to take a shvua, she'im atem yodim li eidus shetavova te'aduni, and that if you know eidus for me, that you better come testify, shvua she'inoni yodim l'cha eidus, and then they say, fine, we're going to take a shvua that we don't know any eidus for you, ve'im yodim lo eidus eidmi pi'eid. And they know Eidos. The problem is that it's not Eidos that they saw themselves. It's Eidos that's Eidmi Pi'eid. That's what we call hearsay. They don't have any firsthand knowledge of what actually happened. And an Eidmi Pi'eid is not generally valid Eidos. Oh, shaya echad me'am karav or pasul. Or if one of them was a karov or a pasul, hare elu pturin, then these guys are going to be potter. Why? Again, because the klal is that the only time you chayav for a shvua say this is, number one, if it's regarding testimony that would be mechayev the other guy money, and that by you not coming to testify, you're causing the other guy to lose money. Number two, it has to be a shvua that's directed to Eidim specifically. Number two was that the Eidus has to precede the Shvua, and the Shvua can't precede the Eidus. Number three is that it has to be directed to Eidim specifically. And number four is that if you're going to swear that you don't know Eidus, the only time you're chayev for swearing as such is if the Eidus that you know is actually valid Eidus. If it's Eidmi Pi'eid, or if you're a karav or a pasul, then you're not going to be chayev the Shvua. Now the final case, Sholach Biyad Avdo, If you send in the hands of your shliach, osha amar lem anitva, or if the nitva says, if the defendant says, mashpi ani aleichem shematem yodim lo edus shetavov v'teyadu hu, that I'm making you take a shvua that if you know edus on behalf of the tovea, that you come and give testimony for him, hare elu pturin, then these guys are potter ad sheyishma mi pi atovea, until he hears it from the tovea. In other words, it's the tovea, it's the plaintiff who has to impose the shvua on the Eidim, that if they know Eidus on behalf of the plaintiff, that they come and actually testify. The Ramban, just parenthetically, is bothered. You already told us, the Mishnah already told us a couple of days ago, that the only time you're chayiv shvuas Eidus is if the Eidim are kosher to be meyed. So if the Eidim are not kosher to be meyed, then you're not chayiv shvuas Eidus. So what's the chiddush over here where we said that they knew Eidus, Eidmi Pi'eid, or that there were a karav or pasul? You already told us that you're not going to be chayiv for testimony like this, because it's not valid testimony. The Ramban says, we're obviously talking about a case where the plaintiff accepted upon himself, or the defendant accepted upon himself, that they would abide by even edus that is aid me pi aid. So even though, generally speaking, yes, this type of edus is possible, but over here they stipulated it would be kosher, nevertheless, it doesn't fall within the paradigm of shvuas edus. Okay, now let's see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to expound on a couple of these cases in the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, Mashpiani Aleichem Imlo Tavo V'Teaduni, that I'm making you take a shvua if you don't come and testify on my behalf. Shamar Ish Ploni Lite Li Messiah Mzuz V'lo Nasan. That Levi, that Yehuda rather said, Reuven says to Shimon and Levi, you guys better come testify for me, that Yehuda said he's going to give me 200 zoz and he never gave it to me. Yachol Yuchayavan, I might think that they're Chayav. Tamalomar Techateh Techateh L'Gzeir Shava. Nemar Kan Techateh V'Nemar Lahalon, and by Shvua Saipikodon it says Techateh, Ma Lahalon B'Tvias Mamon V'Yeshlo. Just like over there by Pikadon, it's a case of Tvias Mamon, the Tvia, the Taina, involves money and Vieshlo. What does Vieshlo mean? So Rashi explains, Vieshlo means that if the Taina could be substantiated, then there would be a Chi of Mamon over here. Then you'd be obligated to pay. So too over here, Afkan, but Tvias Mamon, Vieshlo. Also over here, we're talking about a situation where there has to be a Tvias Mamon, Vieshlo. And over here, as we said, even if the Eitim come and say, yes, it's true, Yehuda did tell Reuven that he was going to give them $200, still he's not obligated to give them $200 because there was no Siva obligating him to do so. It was simply a verbal commitment. Good, so the guy walks back his verbal commitment. It's fine. He's able to do that. So therefore, Shimon and Levi, it turns out, by not testifying on Reuven's behalf, are not necessarily costing him any money because Yehuda could have abrogated his verbal commitment in any event. Says the Gemara Vayter. Mashpiani aleichem kishetedu liedus. This is the situation where the guy tries to pre-wire the shvua. Satana Rabbanan. Mashpiani aleichem kishetedu liedus. If a guy says, I'm making you take a shvua that when you do know edus to me, for me, shetavo v'teaduni, that you should come testify on my behalf, yachol yu chayavin, I might think that they should be chayav. Tamalom arishama kol Allah v'hu aid o ra'a o yada. Misha kadma edus l'shvua v'losha kadma shvua l'edus. In other words, the sequence is here is v'shama kol Allah at the time when he hears the Allah is the curse or the shvua. V'hu aid, he was already a witness at the time of v'shama kol Allah. This guy, when he was made to take the shvua s'edus, was not yet an aid because he didn't yet know the testimony. Therefore, he is not going to be chayav in a situation like this. Now, the next case was where the guy makes the general proclamation in a crowded place that, oh, you guys better come testify on my behalf if you know edus for me. If he's standing in a crowded shul and he says to everybody there, you guys better come testify for me. Amar Shmuel afilo eda b'neim. Yeah, that the halacha and the Mishnah that it's not a valid shvuas edus applies even if the edim are standing there among the people who are in the Beis HaKnesses. Says the Gemara, pshita. Of course, it's pashat that we have to be talking about a case where the edim are standing there. Otherwise, what are you teaching me? That if you go into a crowded shul where there's 100 people davening and you say, oh, you guys better come testify on my behalf if you know testimony for me. But the edim who know the testimony aren't there in the shul even. Of course, that's not going to be a valid shvuas edus. It's elementary that we're talking about a case where his edim are there. So says the Gemara, Lo tzricha dekoy levayu. Ah, now the case is that he's standing right next to them. That he's standing right next to them in the crowded shul with 100 other people when he makes the big proclamation, oh, you guys better come testify on my behalf. Ma'o detema kamandi amar lu dami kamash malah, not. I might think that because he's standing right by their side, that even though he's making the general statement, come on, it's as if he's directing his statement to the two edim specifically, kamash malah, no. We don't say that. It's not enough of a designation. Tani nami achi, ra asiya shel b'nei adam, if you see a large group of people, omdim, standing around, ve'eda b'neim, and his edim are among the people, v'yemerlan, and he says to them, ashbiani aleichem, I'm making you swear, imatem yodim li edish etavo v'teaduni, that you should come testify on my behalf. If you know edus, yachol yu chayavin, I might think that you're chayav, tamalomar, v'hu eid, v'arei lo yichad edav, that you have to be miyached your edim, and you can't make a general proclamation in front of many people, even if your edim are among that group. I might think, well, let's say you're standing right next to them, and you say in front of this large group, everybody who's standing immediately next to me, if you know Eidos, you better come testify. Maybe I might think that's not enough of a specific designation because I have to use their names until I say Shimon and Levi, you guys better come testify for me. Maybe that's not good enough. Tamalomar v'hu eid v'areichad eidav. Over here you were miyached your eidim because you said that the people standing next to me and there and that is another manner of being miyached eidim, just like saying them by name is a manner of being miyached eidim. All right, says the Gemara. Viter now. So now the next case in the Mishnah. Amar l'shnayim hashbi'ani aleichem, and this was a case where they knew eidus, but it was eid mi pi eid. So Tanur Rabbanan, Amar l'shnayim hashbi'ani aleichem ploni uploni matam yodim li eidus shetavo v'teyaduni, ve'in yodin lo eidus eid mi pi eid, oshaya echad me'am karov apostle, yachol yuchayavin tamalomar im lo yagid v'nasa avono, beru'uyin la'agada kosum edaber, where the only time you bear liability is when you withhold testimony that would otherwise be roi la gada. In other words, it's a valid testimony. It's not eid mi pi eid. You are not a karov. You are not an apostle. It's got to be all good eidus. Then the final case, sholach biyad avdo, tana rabbanan, sholach biyad avdo, shamar lema nitva, or if the defendant says, mashbiani aleichem, she'im atem yodim lo eidus, she'tevo v'teyaduhu, if you know eidus on behalf of the plaintiff, you should come and testify on his behalf, yachol yuchayav, and I might think that you're chayav, tamaloma im lo yagid v'nasav, oh no, my talmudo, what's the limud here, amar rabbi Elazar, im lo yagid ksiv, lo is written in a very strange way. It's written like a mole, even though generally the word no in lo, or if you don't, is written lamed aleph. Over here it's written lamed vav aleph. So what's the drusha from the fact that it's written lamed vav aleph? Im lo, lo yagid, v'nasa avono. That the only time that you're no se avon is im lo, lo yagid. If you don't come give testimony for him, who's him? The plaintiff. If the plaintiff comes over to you and says, you better come testify on my behalf, and I'm making you take a shvua that you don't know eidus, in that case, they're going to be chayev. But it's only im lo, lo yagid. V'im la'acher lo yagid pater. However, if it's to another person who they're not giving the testimony on behalf of, then they're going to be pater. Therefore, they're chayev only if the plaintiff makes them swear, but not if anybody else, not if the plaintiff's agent, and not if the defendant makes them swear. All right, now says the next mission. The next mission is going to be talking about the various language of the shvua that is used when you impose a shvua sa'idos on somebody. So, mashbi'ani aleichem, mitzava'ani aleichem, osarchem ani aleichem, chayavin. So these types of language are a loshon shvua, mashbiani, osarchem. It's all mitzave. It's all a loshon of shvua, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Bashamayim of aretz. However, if you use the loshon of bashamayim of aretz, harei elu pturin. Then you're going to be putter. Because you have not been maskir the shame Hashem. And the way the Mefarshim explained this is that even if you're using a Lashon Shvua, you have to be maskir the shame Hashem. That's not universally accepted. Some people say that you only have to be maskir the shame Hashem if you're not using an actual Lashon Shvua. But for now, let's assume that even if you use a Lashon Shvua, you have to use an actual Shem Hashem along with a Lashon Shvua. So the problem is when you say Bashamayim of Aretz, you have never used the Shem Hashem when you're giving the Shvua, and therefore it's not going to be a valid Shvua. Now we go through a bunch of different Shemas Hashem. Ba'alav Dalid, if you use the Shem Adnos, Beyudkei or Yudkei Vavkei, Beshakai, Betzfokos, Bechanun, Virachum, Berech Apayim. So now we've made a transition because these are not really Shemos Hashem. These are Kinuyim. So Chanun, Rachum, Erech Apayim, Barav Chesed, Ubechol HaKinuyim, and with any of the nicknames of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harei Elu Chayavin. Then you are going to be Chayav for all of those, Shemos Hashem, because they're considered to be like subsidiary Shemos. So again, just it's important to point out, and this is going to come clear in the Gemara, that some of the names on this list are actually Shemos Hashem, like Adoshem and Yudke Vavke and Shakai and Sfakos. Those are all real names of Hashem. The only Kenuyim that are referenced here are Chanon, Rachum, Erechapayim, Rav Chesed, and so on and so forth. Zareilu Chayavin. Hamakalo Bekulan Chayav. If you curse somebody else using those Shemos Hashem, there's an Isser in the Torah to curse somebody using Hashem's name, you are going to be Chayav. Divir Rav Meir. V'chachamim Pturim. And the Chachamim say, no, you're Potter. What do you mean the Chacham say you're Potter? The Chacham don't believe that there's an Isser in the Torah to curse other people with Hashem's name? No, it means that the Chachamim hold that you're only Chayav if you use the Shem HaMeforash, if you use the Shem Shal Yud Kei Vav Kei, when you're cursing other people, but not if you use any of these other names. HaMekalo Av V'Ima B'Kulan Chayav, Divir Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that you're Chayav if you curse your mother and your father with any of these Shemos Hashem. V'Chachamim Potrim, and the Chachamim say again that you're Potter until you use the Shem of Yud Kei Vav Kei. HaMekalo Atzmo V'Chaveiro B'Kulan, if a person curses himself and his friend with any of these, names over Belosase. Then you're going to be over on a Losase. We're going to see later on in a couple of days what this Losase is. Yakacha Hashem Elokim. If you use a Lashon of Yakacha Hashem Elokim, V'chein Yakacha Elokim, or if you use a Lashon of Yakacha Elokim, Zui Allah Ksuva B'Torah. This is considered to be the curse that's written in the Torah, because this is the Lashon of Klala from the Tochacha, and that's the prototypical type of curse, and therefore you're going to be Chaya for using that type of Lashon. Al Yakacha V'Yavarechacha V'Yitavlacha. What if you say that Hashem should not curse you, or Hashem should bless you if you come and testify to me? Meaning that the implication is Hashem should not curse you if you come testify for me, but Hashem should curse you if you know Edus and you don't come testify for me. So Rameir says he's Chayav. Why? Because Rameir says, Michlal Lav Ata Shamea Hain, that I do make the implication in what he's saying. And when he's saying, oh, great things should happen to me if I do come testify, it means horrible things should happen to me if I don't come testify. And therefore, that's the Shvuah Se'edus. That's the type of Shvuah that you're going to be Chayav for. The Chachamim Potrim, however, the Chachamim say that you're going to be Potter here. And there are a couple of reasons why the Chachamim could say that you're Potter. Number one, they might say that we don't hold from Mechlal Avata Shamea Hain. So unlike Rav Meir, who's going to make an implication in what he says, he's going to make a diuk in the language that the guy uses, the Chachamim are not willing to make a similar diuk. Or you could also explain that even though generally they do hold from the concept of Mechlal Avata Shamea Hain, over here by Shvuah Sa'idus, it says, V'shama kol Allah v'hu eid. He hears the language of the curse. And hearing the language of the curse means that you have to hear the language of the express curse. That it's got to be a direct curse because of Gzeiras HaKosev here. Even though, yes, usually we do say Mechlal Avata Shamea Hain, over here it's got to be Shama kol Allah. Over here it's got to be a direct and an unambiguous curse that you're hearing dafka by Shvuas Eidus. Two ways of interpreting why the Chachamim hold what they hold in arguing against Rav Meir. All right, so let's get into the Gemara over here, the language that you have to use for the Shvuah. Mashpiani Aleichem, my Kamar. Well, what's he saying, Mashpiani Aleichem? I'm making you take a Shvuah. So Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar. Mashpiani Aleichem b'Shvuah Hamura b'Torah. It means that I am making you swear the Shvuah that is written in the Torah. Mitzavani Aleichem b'tzava hamura b'torah. Osarchamani b'isor amur b'torah. These are all biblical languages of Shvuah. These are all going to be valid languages of Shvuah. So Amar Lei Abaya, well, that's not the right way to explain this. Elaha detani Rabbi Chia adds a lashon. Kubalchemani. I am chained. Kubalchem is a lashon of chained. Kubalchemani hare elu chayavin. But how can it be kubalchemani b'kubal hamor b'torah? Kubal b'raisa mikseiv. It doesn't say kubalchem in the Torah. So how can I interpret mashpiani aleichem b'shvua, mitzave aleichem b'tzava, osarchem aleichem b'iser, kubalchem aleichem b'kubal? That doesn't make any sense. So mi ela amar abaya achi kamar. Mashpiani aleichem b'shvua. Mitzavani aleichem b'shvua. Osar chamani b'shvua. Kubal chamani b'shvua. In other words, all these are introductory type lashonos but they all introduce the Shvuah Ha'amura, they all introduce the Shvuah Ha'amura B'Torah, and Rashi over here critically points out, Osar Chamani B'Shvuah, the last Rashi on the page, Maskir Es Hashem Be'echad Mikol Al-Shonos Halalu, that in addition to using any of these languages, any of these Lashonos of Shvuah, we are also talking about a case where you are Maskir the Shem Hashem. Because what had we said when we started explaining the Mishnah? We had said that even if, most Rishonim hold, that even if you are using one of these biblical languages, you still have to be Masker, the Shem Hashem. And that's why Rashi holds what he holds. Okay, so now let's see Viter. Five lines up from the bottom. Ba'alef Dalid, B'yudke, B'shakai, B'sfakos, B'chanam, V'racham, Erechapayim, Rav Chesed. The Meimra, the Chan V'Racham Shemos Ninu. Do you mean to tell me that Chan and Aracham are Shemos Hashem? V'Raminu Yesh Shemos Einim Chakim V'Yesh Shemos Einim Chakim. There are certain names of Hashem that could be erased, certain names that can't be erased. Eloein Shemos Einim Chakim. Now, first starting on the list with those names that cannot be erased, Kigon Kel Elokecha Elokim Elokechem Ekia Asher Ekia Aleph Dalet V'Yud Kei Shakai Tzvakos Hare Elo Einim Chakim. Those are holy names of Hashem. Cannot be erased. Aval, Hagodol, Hagibor, Hanora, Haadir, Vachazak, Vaamit, Saazos, Chanam, Varachim, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed, Hareilu, Nimchakim. So these can be erased. How can you tell me that I'm chayef if I make a shvua using these names, which is mashma that these names are names of Hashem, because we just said that in order for the shvua to be valid, you have to use the name of Hashem. I learn in a braisa elsewhere that I'm allowed to erase these names, meaning that they are not Shemos Hashem. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Masisim B'Mishu Chanun, B'Mishu Racham Kamar. Now flipping over to Lamed Ayamed Beis, that the Mishnah is talking where you don't simply say Chanun and Racham, you're saying, I'm making you take a Shvuah on the one who is Chanun, on the one who is Racham. That's obviously a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar Le Rava, Ihachi, B'Shamayim of Aretz Nami, also by Shamayim of Aretz, how come in the Mishnah when you wanted to use an example of a language that is not a Lashon Shvuah, because you haven't used the Shem Hashem, you cited an example of where one says, B'Shamayim of Aretz. If I'm going to give poetic license and interpret what the guy is saying, maybe what this means is, B'Misha Shamayim V'Aretz Shalo Kamar. Maybe he means, he's swearing by the one who is master over the heaven and the earth. So says the Gemara, no, it's not good. Hachi Ashta Hasam Kileka Midi Achrini Dikri Racham Vachanan Vada Bemishu Chanan Vada Bemishu Racham Kamar. Where the guy says Chanan and Racham, it's obvious that he means Bemishu Chanan and Bemishu Racham, because there is no thing called Chanun and Racham. Those are attributes. Those are midos. The only reasonable interpretation of what he meant is he's taking the Shvua Bemishu Chanan Bemishu Racham. Hacha Kevan the Ika Shemayim Va'aretz, B'Shemayim Va'aretz Kamar. However, over here where the guy says B'Shemayim Va'aretz, how do you know he's saying B'Misha Shemayim Va'aretz Shalo? The more likely explanation is that he's swearing on the Shemayim and the Aretz, because there are actually things called Shemayim and Aretz, and maybe swearing on those objects. And therefore, it's not going to be a valid Shvuah. Tana Rabbanan. Kosav Aleph Lamed Me Elokim. Let's say you wrote the first two letters of the Shem Hashem of Elokim, and of course Kel is the name of Hashem itself. So Yud Kei Me Hashem, or if you write just Yud Kei from the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and of course Yud Kei is also a name of Hashem. Hareza Eino Nimchak. Therefore, you cannot erase even the partial names, because even those partial names are names unto themselves. Shin Dalad Me Shakai, Aleph Dalad Me Adoshem, Sadi Beis Me Tzfakos. In other words, you write a partial Shem Hashem, but the partial Shem Hashem that you're writing is not itself a Shem. Hareza Nimchak, then you are able to erase those names. Rav Yossi Omar Tzfakos Kulo Nimchak, that Tzfakos can be erased in its entirety. Shelo Nikro Tzfakos El Hashem Yisrael. The only reason that Hashem is called Tzfakos is Alts Klal Yisrael. Shenemar Votseisi Es Sivosai Es Ami B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So in other words, it's less of a Shem Hashem. And Amar Shmuel ain't halacha k'rav Yosi. So Shmuel comes and says ain't halacha k'rav Yosi. Tosfos Amar Aleph is bothered. Why do we need to tell me ain't halacha k'rav Yosi? We have the shita of the chachamim, the general shita of what the halacha is. And then we have Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi is a das yachid. So why do you need to tell me that ain't halacha k'Rav Yossi? Tosfos explains that even though Rav Yossi usually the halacha is like him, because nimuko imo over here we see kamash mulan, the halacha is not going to be like Rav Yossi. Okay, now the Gemara says Vayter regarding things associated with the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tana Rabbana, kol ha-tofel l'shem, anything that is subsidiary to the shem, beimul fana, beimul achrav, areza nimchak, whether it's a prefix or a suffix to the shem Hashem, it could be erased. So lafanav ketza, what does it mean lafanav? La Hashem, lamed nimchak, ba Hashem, beiz nimchak, va Hashem, vav nimchak, me Hashem, mem nimchak, she Hashem, shin nimchak, ha Hashem, hey nimchak, ka Hashem, kuf nimchak, v'achrav ketzad, Elokeinu, nu nimchak, Elokeichem, hem nimchak, Elokeichem, chem nimchak, acherim omrim la'achrav, eina nimchak, shakar kitshu Hashem. Nah, that if it's a prefix, then you're allowed to erase the prefix. If it's a suffix, you're not allowed to erase the suffix. Why? Because the suffix has already become holy with the fact that it's appended to the Shem Hashem. Mashma from here, by the way, that you have to write the Shem Hashem in order, because then the only way the suffix comes is once there's a Shem Hashem. Otherwise, if you could write it out of order, then the suffix, you might have written it before the shame, in which case you can't say Kvar Kitshu Hashem. But if you have to write it in order, by the time you get up to the suffix, you already have a Shem Hashem that the suffix is appended to. Therefore, it cannot be erased. Therefore, it cannot be erased according to the Acherim. And Amar Avuna Halacha Kacherim. Avuna says that Halacha is like the Acherim. Now we're going to see whether various references to the Shem Hashem in various parts of Tanakh are Kodesh or Chol. Kol Shemos Amurim B'Torah Ba'Avram Kodesh. All of the names of Hashem that are written by Avram Avinu in the Torah are Kodesh. Chutz Mizeh Shu Chol. Except for this one, which is Chol. Shenemar Vayomer Hashem. And if you look in the Bach, it shouldn't be Hashem like the Lashon of Yud Yud or Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's Vayomer Adoshem Im Lo Matzasi. This is when Avram is addressing the Malachim who are standing in front of him. And Rashi points out that he was addressing the Malach Michael, who was standing in between Gavriel and Raphael, and he uses the Lashon of Adoshem. Imna Matzasi Chein Beinecha. Chanina ben Achi, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer ben Azari, Mishum Rabbi Lezer, Amadoi Yomru, Af Zeh Kodesh, even this one is Kodesh. And then the Gemara just observes, Kaman Ozla Ha Di Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav Gdola Achnas Azarchem Yosem Mekabolas Pnei Ashchina, Kaman Kaosa Zug. So that Maimar Chazal, that Achnas Azarchem is greater than Kabolas Pnei Ashchina, is holding like these Amaram. Why? Because these Amaram hold that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avram Avinu was in the middle of a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when he said Vayomar Ad Hashem, it doesn't mean he was addressing himself to the Malachim. He was talking to Hashem, and he said, Hashem, do me a favor, wait a second, I have to go be Machnas Arkham. That shows that Achnas Azarchem is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Ashchina, but it's only a good diuk if you hold that Shem Hashem is actually Kodesh and not Chol. Says the Gemara Vayter, Kol Shemos Amurim Belot Chol, Chutz Mizeh. All Shemos that are written by Lot are Chol, except for the following one, Shu Kodesh, Shenemar, Vayomar Lot, Aleem, Alna Adoshem, Hine Na Matza Avdecha Chaim Beinecha, Mi Sheyesh Biyodo Lahamis Ulahachio, Zeh HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So obviously, Lot's referring to the one who has the power to either save or destroy, which is HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Kol Shemos Amurim Benavos Kodesh, B'micha Chol. All Shemos that are written by Navos are Kodesh, by Micha are Chol. There are some that are chol and there are some that are kodesh. Aleph lamid chol, Elokim is chol. Yud kei kodesh, chutz mizu she'alef lamid vu kodesh. Except for this example where it is a shem Hashem of aleph lamid and it is kodesh. Kol yemei hayos beis Elokim bishilo. This is obviously talking about the Mishkan, which was in Shiloh. So Beis Elokim has to mean the house of God. That's got to be an example of Elokim, which is Kodesh. Kol Shemos Amurim Begivas Binyamin. All Shemos that are written by Givas Binyamin, by the Maisa Pilegesh Begiva, Rabbi Lezer Amar Chol, Rabbi Yeshua Amar Kodesh. Rabbi Lezer says it's Chol, Rabbi Yeshua says it's Kodesh. Now, just as a bit of background here, by Pilegesh Begiva, the Shvatim were incensed that this Pilegesh was killed in Givas Binyamin, so they waged war against Shevet Binyamin, so they went out against Binyamin three times in war. First two times, the Shvatim were unsuccessful. The third time, they were successful, and they virtually annihilated Shevet Binyamin. So now, back in the Gemara, Samar lo Rabbi Lazar, v'chim yavtiach v'ina osa, how could it be that all references to the Shem Hashem in Givas Binyamin were Kodesh, could it be that Klal Yisrael asked the Urim V'Tumim three times, should we go out to war? And three times the Urim V'Tumim said yes, even though the first two times the Shvatim were badly beaten? How could it be that Kodesh Baruch Hu would tell them they should go out to war and they were not going to be successful? So Amar Lo Rav Yeshua, Ma Sheftiach Asa, V'Heim Lo Bichnu Imlam Soach Imlam Natseach. No, they didn't ask the right question. They said, should we go out to war? So the Urim V'Tumim said yes. They never said, are we going to be successful? The last time they said, they were in Batum, said they're going to be successful. Bachrona, Shabichnu, Eskimu, Al Yadan. However, the last time they went out to war, they said, are we going to be successful in war? The Urim V'Tumim said yes, and the truth is it was correct. Shenemar, Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron, Omed, Lefana, Bayam, Mahim. Lamar Osef Odlat Esel Machama Bani Binyamin Achi Im Achdal, will I be victorious? And it said yes. Kol Shlomo Amurim B'Shir Hashirim Kodesh. All of the references to Shlomo that are written in Shir Hashirim are Kodesh because it means Shir Lamisha Shalom Shalo, which is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chutz Mizeh, Karmi Shali Lefanoi, my vineyard is in front of me. Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo Lididei, that Shlomo has 1,000. Umasayim Lenotrim Espirio. And those who guard his vineyard have 200. And Rashi over here says, "Umasayim lenotrin rabbanon and nicham v'yasku b'torah echad meishisha shavem." In other words, Shlomo took 1,000 for himself, and out of the 1,200, he took 1,000 for himself, and 200 he left learning Torah. V'yesh omrim avzechol, and others say even this is chol. That also the following one is chol. Hine mitoso shel Shlomo shishim. Does it mean even this is chol and also the other one is and also the other one is chol? Elohad Yamar Shmuel. However, that which Shmuel says, Malchusa de Kotla Chamishisa Bialma, a Malchus that kills 1/6 of its populace, it doesn't mean that it actually kills 1/6 of its populace. It means that it enlists 1/6 of its populace to the army. Lo Mienesh is not going to be punished in Emar because it says, Karmi Shali Lefanoya Elef Lecha Shlomo Lamalchusa de Rakia. Elef Lecha Shlomo means 1,000 can continue learning. Umasayim Lenotrim Espirio, and 200 to go into the army. So Lamachusa de Ara. So no, it doesn't mean Malchusa de Rakia, it means Malchusa de Ara. It means for the Malchus. Shmuel Lokatamakama Veloki Yesh Omrim. In that case, Shmuel is not saying like the Tanakama or the Yesh Omrim. Elochi Kamar, Vyesh Omrim, Ze Kodesh. So in other words, is machlokes, is that case, is that reference of Elef L'cha Shlomo, is that Kodesh or Chol? One Mandiyamer says it's Chol, one Mandiyamer says it's Kodesh. The Mandiyamer who says that Hinei Mitaso Shel Shlomo is Chol will hold that Elef L'Shlomo is Kodesh, and that's Shmuel is holding like the Yesh Omrim in that respect. All right, let's leave off here. Tomorrow we'll pick up from the about the Shemos that are written in Daniel, and we'll continue on in the Sugya, God willing.